Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, and we're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience.
Stevens gets the snap. He's back to throw. He looks. He moves to his left. Stevens looking. Now he throws deep down the field. Intercepted at the 40. Back to the 45-50. Far sideline, 45-40. 35-30. 25 to the 20. 15. 10-5 going all the way. Touchdown, Michigan. Brandon Watson picked it off and takes it in. A pick six for the Wolverines. And with 9 seconds to go in the third quarter, Michigan is in full command. They lead 27 to nothing.
Michigan Wolverines football known for its incredible defense in 2018. Ryan Radke with the call of that defensive touchdown against Penn State on the Westwood One radio network. It was an 8-1 mark in conference play for the Wolverines, 10-3 overall. Of course, losing again to Ohio State and then falling in its bowl. But it did not tarnish what the defense was able to accomplish. And one main reason why, the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, the junior captain on that side of the ball, Devin Bush, who is now about to experience the combine and the pro day process and then on into the NFL draft. I had a chance to catch up with Devin from Michigan on Monday evening, and it was great to spend a few minutes with him. I started out by asking him, now post-football, what's his routine like as he prepares for these next steps?
Yeah, so, I mean, my routine is just, you know, getting ready for the combine. So I wake up probably 7 o'clock in the morning, head over to the facility, get some breakfast in me, you know, do some physical therapy, have a lift, go outside, do a run, come back, eat lunch, do some more PT, go back out, do another run, come back in, do another lift, after, do some more PT. And after that, it's probably around, you know, 3:30. And my day is pretty much done. I come back, get off my feet, and, you know, watch some movies, play the game, talk to some people on the phone, talk to family.
It certainly is different than being a student athlete and having to divide your attention. So how much does it feel like your job now that you're preparing for an NFL career?
Yeah, I kind of did. You know, I mean, it's always kind of been a job, you know, from high school to college. And college kind of gives you that big thing where it's like, oh, I got to put, you know, some time into the class and I got to put some time into football. But I really want to play football. I don't really like school like that. So, I mean, like, you kind of just understand that, you know, it takes a lot to play this game. You know, going to the next level, like you said, it's going to be your job. And you kind of figure that out, you know, really fast once you get things going.
What have you heard about this process now? Everything that we've got ahead of us between the combine and pro days and the upcoming draft.
Yeah, I heard it has its ups and it has its downs. You know, the combine is 4 long days. You know, you're gonna be meeting with a lot of people. You know, within those 4 days, you're gonna have early mornings and late nights. You know, you're gonna be up 7 a.m. and then you're gonna be going to sleep probably 11 o'clock. You know, in between that time, you know, you're meeting with a lot of people and you're doing a lot of things, you know, with the medical staff and, you know, just moving around constantly throughout the day.
Considering what you've heard and how extensive those 4 days, are you nervous when you think about the combine?
Not at all. I mean, I'm prepared. I feel very prepared to go in there and I have a great combine and I'm not really nervous about anything. You know, we're going to have my interviews and, you know, I'm used to talking to people, you know, just going through college and being interviewed after games or before games. And, you know, I'm ready for it. This is what I've always been preparing for. So this is going to be another interview to me. And, you know, just going to have a great workout.
We are inching our way toward the NFL Combine, which is the first big step in preparation for the NFL Draft. And all of this will be experienced by Michigan linebacker Devin Bush, who is the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year and with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. How did being a Wolverine prepare you for not just this process, but an NFL career?
Yeah, Coach Harbaugh did a great job And he's continuing to do a great job of the way he runs the program. You know, he runs it like a pro style. You know, he treats you like a grown man. You have responsibilities and you have a role and you have expectations you have to meet. And he's not going to let you fall short of his expectations. You know, you're going to be treated like a man. You're going to go about your business as a man. You know, that's what he preaches a lot. You know, if you want to play this game and you want to play at the next level, it's going to take a lot more sacrifice than you think.
I got to ask, Devin, does he ever just make you laugh out loud?
Yeah, he does. You know, he's a good guy with a lot of personality. And he's not afraid to show it at any moment. You know, he's a funny guy.
On the flip side, though, how much does it help to have a coach with as much passion and knowledge as he's got on your side?
Yeah, it means a lot, you know, because when, you know, any advice, anything you're going through or anything you put your mind to do, you know, Coach Harbaugh has done, you know, he's went through college, he has went through the draft process, he's got drafted, he's been, you know, he played in the NFL, he played in big games, he coached in big games. He's been around a lot of great players, and he coached great players. So, you know, just being around a guy like that, and you know, he has that background. You know, his father was a coach, and you know, he's always been around the game of football. So he knows a lot about football and how life goes with football. So, you know, talking to a guy like that, you know, he's not going to lead you in the wrong direction.
Going back to your commitment and your decision to attend Michigan, as a high school kid from Florida, how much culture shock was there when you got adjusted to the upper Midwest?
Oh, it was crazy. I remember my first day of class. I got there in the winter term, so obviously it was snowing. And I had a roommate, and he was from New Jersey. And I wake up, and, you know, he has his coat on, he has jeans and snow boots, you know, he's all ready for class. You know, I wake up, look outside, it's snowing. I'm like, oh, man. So, you know, I put on some sweatpants, some shoes, and a long-sleeve shirt. He's like, yo, what are you doing? Like, it's snowing outside, man. Like, you gotta have some layers. And I'm like, what are layers? What are you talking about? Good, I got a long-sleeve, and I'm good. He's like, all right. So then we walked out, and as soon as the door opened, the wind immediately cut through my whole clothes, so I felt everything. So it was just crazy, just from coming from Florida and, you know, going to a place where it snows, and you got to dress differently, you got to wear certain shoes, you got to do everything completely different from what I was used to. So it definitely was a culture shock for me.
Oh my gosh, that's a wild story. But at least you've adjusted by now. And come to think of it, as I was watching some of your highlights from this season, when you were at Michigan State, did you play in hail?
Yeah, it was definitely. Oh, it was so cold. Yes, playing in hail. It was not raining. Like it started raining, and then we came off the field. And we start hearing stuff hitting our helmets. We're like, what is that? And it was like, yeah, it's hailing right now. It stung when it hit your skin. It made your helmet clank. It was crazy.
Wow. No doubt the Big Ten toughened you up, Devin. Devin Bush, the Big Ten linebacker of the year from Michigan, had to go through all kinds of experiences to be a two-time All-American. He's with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. While we talk about the Big Ten, how much did being in this conference with all of the traditions and the incredible rivalries, the huge crowds, prepare you for what's to come at the NFL level?
Yeah, the Big Ten was definitely a great conference to play in. It was a fun conference. You know, these rivalries run so deep, and you're part of history. You know, playing in those games and winning trophies and playing for you know, the Battle of the States and the Paul Bunyans and the Jug. And, you know, it's really cool to be a part of that tradition and experience that. And, you know, playing in the Big House obviously was a huge thing for me because I never played in front of that many people before, and you're not going to play in front of that many people no matter what NFL team you go to. So the Big Ten and the Big House got me ready, you know, for the next level. And I played in those big games. I played in front of a huge crowd before. I played on the biggest stages and everything, a lot on the line. So, I mean, it definitely got me ready to play in, you know, in the NFL and play these playoffs and these Super Bowls and, you know, regular season games, trying to get into the playoffs. So I think it prepared me.
What do you remember about the very first time that you played at the Big House?
It was my freshman year opener. in 2016 against Hawaii, and I remember running out, and like you could hear the crowd in the tunnel. You know, it's kind of here. It's kind of you know, fluffy coming in and out. And once you run out the tunnel, kind of just everything just opens up, and you're like, oh my God, there's so many people here. And you run out, you touch the banner, and then you know, you get the game started. So I mean, it was a surreal moment for me because as a kid, all I really wanted to do was play college football.
Awesome. And those are the experiences that you can take with you for the rest of your life. Devin, the Michigan defense was stingy this year, second ranked in the nation in terms of yards allowed per game. What did you pride yourself on as a unit?
Yeah, we wanted to be the best defense in the country, and we pride ourselves on holding people to total yardage and getting three and outs and forcing punts and forcing turnovers to get our offense back the ball. So, I mean, we went into the game, and, you know, we wanted to break you.
Of course, the process coming up is an individual one at the combine, at your pro day, on into the NFL draft. How do you want people to describe you as a defensive player, Devin?
I just want to be me. You know, I want to be I'm the energetic guy. I'm the guy that loves the game. I'm the guy that loves to have fun, and I love to play the game. So, I mean, I want to be viewed as that guy that, you know, just loves football no matter the circumstances.
Every time I saw you play or watched highlights, you had this incredible energy and explosiveness. You were the defensive captain, and you were a guy who was expected to set the tone for that side of the ball. How important was that to you?
Yeah, definitely. I've always been a tone setter, and that's one of the things where I pride myself. I'm just me out there, and I play to win, and I love to win. So, you know, that's the biggest drive I have out there.
Michigan linebacker Devin Bush with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk about your personal life just a little bit. Your hometown is in Broward County, Florida. How often was your family able to be at Michigan to see you play football?
Yeah, my mom came to almost every home game, and she made a lot of away games and season openers, so they were very involved in traveling and being flexible with their time to come, you know, support me.
Your Twitter profile picture, it's a black and white photo of a group of you. Looks like you're all related. Who's in that photo?
It's me, my two sisters, my cousin, my brother, and my baby cousin, and my dog.
How much does it mean to you, Devin, to have a family support system like you do?
Yeah, it means everything. Family is everything. I grew up around family, and family being one of my close friends, and you know, being the people I still talk to and hang out to this day, and being my biggest supporter. So, you know, I'm a big family guy, and I love family. So, that's big for me.
I agree. Family is absolutely everything. Devin Bush was the Big Ten Player of the Year this season, a two-time All-American at the linebacker spot, and now prepping for the Combine and the NFL Draft. You can find him on Twitter at @DBush11. Can't wait to see how this process plays out and where you end up in the NFL. Devin, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Right now, I would say the majority of you are pointing to March Madness as the next big thing that's got you all jacked up in sports, and that's cool. But there have been a variety of answers, including Star Wars Episode 9 on our Facebook page, which doesn't actually come out in the spring. However, did you see the note about competitive lightsaber duels? It's now a legal and competitive sport in France, officially. I've never wanted to move to France before, but this caught my eye. Lightsaber dueling, now recognized as an official sport. That seems like a really bad idea. I know that there are lots of people out there who fence or who fight with sabers, but if these lightsabers are anything like the real thing, and they can cut people in half, I think that's a really bad idea.
This is madness.
We're not all Jedi Knights. Apparently, the lightsabers are considered to be in the same class as the foil, the epi, and the saber. Traditional blades used at the Olympics. Could you imagine if lightsaber dueling turned into an Olympic sport? I mean, it might not be too late for me to take up something new. Except right now, France is the only place where it's an official sport. So it would be a pretty shallow field in the Olympics. Still, pretty impressive that people have turned lightsabers and Star Wars lore into a way to compete and make money. Good for you, France. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, what's the next big thing in sports that you're looking forward to? Some of you, I would say a fair number of you, have mentioned the Masters, which, of course, is the first official major of the year in golf. I don't know why I said official. I think because I was talking about the lightsaber dueling. It's the first major of the year in golf. And this is coming off of the West Coast Swing. So they're done with the West Coast Swing on the PGA Tour. Justin Thomas coughed up a four-shot lead on Sunday at the Genesis Open. And J.B. Holmes rallied for the win. But a lot of the focus was on Tiger Woods, of course. He faded big time, closed with a 72. He did tie for 15th, but there was a time on Sunday, and he was completing his third round on Sunday at the Genesis Open, and then he was turning around and teeing off in his fourth round. And that was kind of the major issue with this particular event in LA because of bad weather. Remember, it delayed the start for a lot of the golfers on Thursday. So some of these golfers didn't even start the tournament until Friday. And it just was crunched in terms of the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday play. But Wood started out like a house on fire Saturday. But then when he was on his eighth hole Saturday night, they had to stop the tournament again. And so he finished on Sunday, had an eagle then on Sunday, and moved into the top 15, but then wasn't able to sustain that. Now, he did end up finishing tied for 15th, but in terms of being high up on the leaderboard and competing with Justin Thomas, and Thomas was still on the course trying to finish up his third round as well. So again, everything was all crunched together. He's never won at Riviera, which is the host of the Genesis Open, and he really struggled on the greens. But I thought it was interesting to hear from him afterwards about how fatigue caught up with him.
Well, I got tired. Yeah, there's no doubt. It was just a long week, and eventually I made a few bad swings, but, you know, to be honest with you, it was one of the worst weeks I've ever had on the greens. You know, 6-3 putts is, I don't think I've ever done that. And so to have that many 3 putts and, you know, still shoot 600 par, and take away those 3 putts, I'm 12 under par. And if I make a few more putts, I'm right in the mix. So I just got to clean up my mess on the greens and, you know, be ready for Thursday.
So he did have stretches where he struck the ball extremely well, where he was hot in terms of the eagles and the birdies, but the putting was a bit of a black mark. And that's something that he struggled with last year as well. Remember, it seemed like he got the driving under control. When he got the driving under control and his irons, he's always been an incredible iron player, but he very rarely, especially late in the year, could get all of those segments, those facets of his game going well at the same time. Now, he obviously had a win last year, and he was on the Ryder Cup team, but by that time, he was completely worn out because of the schedule that he had kept in the fall. And so, as he talks about being tired, wouldn't say this is about him being older or struggling with injuries or anything like that. I think it's more about the fact that they had most of their rounds, the four rounds were crammed into 3 days, and it's just a lot to ask anyone. Maybe that was one of the reasons why Justin Thomas faded late on Sunday, because he had to play a round and a half on that closing day. We're not that far away from the Masters. Is that the event that you're most looking forward to? Even though spring is not here yet, I got you. There are lots of places in the country, including where I live, where it's frigid and there's snow in the forecast or snow already on the ground. But it never hurts to think spring. So on Twitter or on Facebook, our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. for CBS coming up. I have a special request when I go to Pittsburgh. I don't normally do things like this, but I'll tell you why. I'm going to accommodate a fan who wants to meet me, which is sweet in and of itself. But there's one particular reason why I'm going to go out of my way to cross paths with this fan. I'll tell you about it coming up. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Pavelski feeds to Burns in deep. Oh, centering feet behind two players that were open on the left wing side. One of them was Joe Thornton. Pavelski back for Thornton. He's across the line. Shoots. He scores! The hat trick for Joe Thornton. And he puts the Sharks in front 5-4. And SAP Center explodes in excitement.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ah, Jumbo Joe, my favorite hockey player, had his first hat trick in 8 seasons on Monday night. It happened at home in a 6-5 overtime loss to the Bruins, but his third goal put the Sharks ahead after they were trailing 3-0 in the opening period. His goal put them ahead briefly until Chris Wagner tied it late, and then Charlie McAvoy had the game winner with a minute left in OT. So the Bruins are on some kind of tear. Points in their last 11 games, they're 8-0-3. But I was more excited about Joe and this personal piece of history. Only the 5th hat trick of his career. This is a guy who has made a living in the NHL on distributing, on setting up his teammates. He's got incredible hands, incredible passing skills, and I've always enjoyed watching him out there facilitating, so to speak. But this is his 5th career hat trick. He's now 39 years old, so nerd alert! The oldest player to have a 3-goal game since Jaromir Jagr did it 4 seasons ago at age 42. And now Joe Thornton is 15th all-time in points in the NHL and not yet done. Do you know I don't believe in jinxes, anything like that? But I've been really nervous to even talk about driving to Pittsburgh to see the Sharks play the Penguins. That's now coming up on Thursday night because I was worried that something would happen and Thornton wouldn't play. He's really the big reason why I'm going, because at 39 years old, who knows how much longer he will compete in the NHL. He's obviously a future Hall of Famer and a guy that has left an incredible legacy, but he's also struggled with knee surgeries and knee issues the last couple seasons. And so I was nervous about getting the press pass and then setting up a show in Pittsburgh, which I will be doing. So I'm going regardless now. 93.7 The Fan, our home in Pittsburgh, will be hosting the show. It'll be my first time doing a show in Pittsburgh ever, I think, in my radio career, but definitely since I've been with CBS Sports Radio. And the first order of business when I get there will be to attend the game at PPG Paints Arena. Now, I've not been there before. I've heard from some of you who say it's absolutely beautiful and that I will really enjoy the experience. And that's good. I like to visit new arenas around the country. And when I shared this on a show recently, I got a special request. I mean, I get these kinds of things from fans all the time. And generally when I'm working, it's up to the fan to find me. And I don't mean that to be arrogant or self-centered, only that I'm working. And so there's obviously another focus. For instance, when I'm in Atlanta, and I'm navigating Radio Row and we've got all these interviews to do, it's not just about being there and being on Radio Row. It's about all the prep that goes into it. It's about doing the shows at night. It's about making sure that I'm able to navigate interview to interview to interview. And so it's not about hanging out with fans or visiting with other media people, though sometimes I have those opportunities. But work has to be the top focus. So in this particular case, yes, I'm going to the game to work. I will not be cheering because I'm on a press credential, but I will be smiling big if Joe Thornton does anything worthwhile, which he normally does. I mean, he's still very effective, even at 39 years old. And so I'm not going to be cheering, but I am going to take an opportunity to visit a fan named Tyler. Tyler sent me a message on our Facebook page, and he said, I will be in section 225, row la la la, seat la la la. I guess I don't need to tell you exactly where he's going to be sitting. And he asked me, can you come by and take a picture? Because I would love to have a selfie with my favorite radio host, which in and of itself is very kind, and I really appreciate that. Then he dropped the hammer. Then he said, I'll be taking my 11-year-old sister to her first hockey game, and I would love for her to meet you, and I'd love for her to get a picture with you. Now, see, I'm a sucker for the kids. And really, when it comes to girls who are involved in sports and experiencing something in sports for the first time, whether it be attending a game, whether it be listening to the show for the first time, whether it be playing a particular sport and really getting involved, I love it when dads tell me that they have their daughters listen to the show, or when teachers tell me, my kids know that I'm a big fan of your show, and every now and then I share parts of your show with them. That means a lot to me. So Tyler, in section 225 in PPG Paints Arena, will get a visit from me, but don't tell him it's mostly because I want to be able to meet his little sister and to encourage her about sports and going to the hockey game, and because I want to see how she likes it. Hockey is fantastic in person. It's not a great sport on TV. It's not unique in that respect. Soccer's not a great sport on TV. There are some sports that don't translate nearly as well. But I always tell people, when you attend an NHL game in person and you see the speed and the power of these athletes and just the incredible skill and the fact that it's nonstop outside of a couple of breaks here and there, you can't help but be impressed. So I'm excited about going to PPG Paints, and I'm looking forward to meeting Tyler and his little sis. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What's the spring sporting event that has got you all excited? And then also on our Facebook page, which you are blowing up. Holy cow. I didn't realize that so many of you used our Facebook page on a daily basis, but we're getting a steady stream of comments over the last couple of nights. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. For CBS, it's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. At this point, we've gotten hundreds of responses. At this point, though, I would say March Madness is the number one spring sporting event that you're most looking forward to. And there's obviously a bunch of run up in preparation for March Madness. So even now, they're deep into conference play on both the men's and women's side. And then, of course, they go into conference championships, which is the opportunity, even for teams at the bottom of the conference, at least in those conferences where everybody is allowed to compete in the tournament. Not all tournaments are like that. For instance, the Ivy League only takes the top four in each of the men's and the women's side. But they didn't have a tournament for the longest time, so this is actually something that they're really excited about in the Ivy League. Anyway, conference play, and we look for the upsets, and then we get excited about Selection Sunday and filling out our brackets, and those first few days of the NCAA tournament are magnificent. 4 days in which the feel goes from, well, okay, let's include the Tuesday, right, where you got the two games in Dayton. I said that in Dave's face, so it was like a virtual eye roll. You've got the games in Dayton, and then you get down to the point at which you're at 64. But between Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of that very first weekend, you go from 64 teams down to 16. I don't know that there are four better consecutive days in sports than those 4 days in March. And so I crave them. I can't wait. My family, we're dorky. We do our own March Madness pool. And I know a lot of you have pools in your offices. It's a lot of fun. And it's something that even casual sports fans can really get into because the format is perfect. Let's be honest. The format is perfection. Whether you agree or don't agree with the teams that get in or the teams that don't, the format itself, and I hope they never tweak it. I know there's been talk about expanding it. I hope they don't mess with it. Adding the extra four teams was enough. It's perfection. And it sucks you in, and it leaves you breathless, Last year, we got the first ever upset of a 16 over a 1. Who's going to be bold enough to pick that again? Just, it's so much fun because everyone in the nation really gets excited about it. Again, even if you don't know much about the teams or the athletes, it's this crash course in college basketball late in March. So a lot of you are excited about March Madness, which I'm on board with completely. And then we've got some other unique answers, which are fun. Oscar says on Facebook, good morning, March Madness and the NFL Draft. And so he's excited about the NFL Draft. Elizabeth says Stanley Cup playoffs. Michael says the AAF all day. Hashtag go shots. Well, yes, and the championship of the AAF is in late April, if I'm not mistaken. April 27th, I think, is the date that sticks in my mind. How about this suck up? No, I'm just kidding. This is Craig on our Facebook page. This is very kind of Craig. Amy's half marathon that she will be running in. please do not look forward to that. It's really a reason to get so disappointed. You'll have your hopes completely dashed.
Yes.
However, it is 8 weeks away. 8 weeks from this past Sunday that I'll be running another half marathon. And I have a friend. Oh, I have a major dilemma. You guys have a dilemma. My friend has already indicated to me that she's going to be running extremely slowly and that she may stop to walk. Now, here's the deal with me and half marathons. I don't run fast, though I suspect, just based on our conversations, that my pace is a slightly faster than hers. I don't care about the time or the pace, but I will not walk. That's absolutely the rule. I do not walk. I run the entire way. Otherwise, why do it? Why pay money? Why go through all the rigmarole of starting and getting up early and being cold and blah, blah, blah? Why put yourself through that if you're going to walk? I can't do it. And I'm way too competitive for it anyway. And so I have to run the entire way. But what do I do? Do I tell her that ahead of time? That I'll run with you no matter what, but if you stop to walk, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave you? Because she's actually flying in from Florida to run this half marathon with me, but I can't walk because I'll feel like I failed. It's my entire goal when I train for these things not to walk. And so what do I do? Do I just tell her ahead of time, sorry, I have to keep going? Someone help me.
Well, at first I thought this was an easy answer, but then you said she's flying in from somewhere. That makes it a lot more difficult. I was going to say, just leave her. I was going to say, just run away. I'm sure she's nice and all, but just
no,
run away.
No, she is nice. I love her dearly. Now, here's the good thing is that she'll be with me. She's staying with me for 3.5 days, so it's not like she's just coming in for the race and then leaving. And it's going to be really nice scenery. We'll be in Central Park. Yay, la, la, la. She's very excited about it, but I would feel like I had completely failed in my endeavor if I walk. So,
yeah, no, there's no walking in half marathons.
No,
allowed, so
what's the point?
Know. It's a tough situation. I'd leave her.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm gonna have to let her know ahead of time. I'll stick with you if we're running slowly. That's fine. I don't mind. I don't care about setting a personal best time. But I can't walk. Okay. So right. Well, as long as I'm upfront about it. Thank you, Dave, for making me feel much better. Just leave her. Chris says on our Facebook page, the hot dog eating contest. Ew, no, that's gross. Bob says WrestleMania. David says MLB. I've been going through withdrawals since the end of last season. I like this one from Morgan. I don't know if Morgan is a man or a woman, so I was going to say he or she, but I don't want to make that assumption. Sacramento Kings making the playoffs. Hey, it's going to be kind of cool in the NBA playoffs. Now, I know the final eight in each conference are not set, but certainly there's been a changing of the guard. For instance, Milwaukee at the top of the Eastern Conference. The Brooklyn Nets right now are in sixth place in the East. You've got the Charlotte Hornets. Now they're still below 500, but they're right there. You know what, though? To not see Dwayne Wade in the playoffs one more time, I think would be a bummer. He's obviously got 3 rings. He's been on every stage, the biggest stages in basketball. But I would like to see the Heat get into the playoffs one more time. I mean, heck, the Orlando Magic have won 5 in a row, and they're not that far out. They're a half game out of the number 8 spot in the East. So there's a lot of fun turnover. In the West, yes, the Warriors are still on top, but the Denver Nuggets, hey, the Thunder are in third place. The Sacramento Kings right now are the 9th team in the West, but they are just a game back of the Clippers. The same number of losses, two fewer wins. So that's a very real possibility, Morgan, seeing the Kings making the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Yes, playoffs. Jeffrey says the NBA playoffs. While the Warriors comparison to the 90s Bulls is a great storyline, when have we had four teams in the LeBron-less East? That's a mouthful. LeBron-less East with about a 25% chance of reaching the finals. The NBA has so much new talent in both conferences, plus the usual stars. No, it's fine. The band can strike up anytime. Just don't drown me out. I like this one, too, that I've heard from Larry on Facebook and others on Twitter. NFL free agency, but specifically AB and LB. So Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Well, where will they end up? And what about Nick Foles? It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.